This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
He's back for one more day, as is your Pratt Pack at the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show. What an incredible run. Mark Moore, a job well done. Always anticipating the show, lived up to all of the expectations, and we will be back there again today. He'll be on the main stage, farm to table, and I'll be hosting the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show with some men that he is familiar with back in the glory days. They were all together at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let me remind you, it is an incredible day. Bob Dvorak co-hosting for 2 hours. Ed Bouchette, best NFL beat writer ever and truly a great columnist, writer, and an extraordinary journalist from Peabody High School and the University of Pittsburgh, the legend of Bob Smizik. So it's a throwback edition talking about everything then, but also in the present in the wide world of sports in Pittsburgh with those incredible gentlemen. And here he is. But before we say hello to Doug, if you're the 10th caller, you'll win a $25 gift certificate to Sorgles in Wexford, 412-922-1020. It has been a lot of fun, but we get a little weary when we get to this point, but it's definitely worth heading down for the final day.
For your Black and Gold show, people are going to think you're in a time warp. It's 1995, hey. But what a great lineup. Good for you, man.
Thank
Those
you.
Guys are...
legends.
People have to listen to that show. It is going to be legendary. That's going to be good.
You should try to pop. I know you're busy, but if you're down there early enough, you should pop in because you're right in there with those same gentlemen.
I'll at least walk by and wave.
Yeah, well, you're,
those
listen,
guys.
You have to admit, I love the newspaper industry. I love the PG. I love the Trib. I love everything about what it's all about. But those gentlemen are on the Mount Rushmore.
No doubt about it. I was a newspaper since 1979 until I wasn't, so... it was a good run. Anyway, yes, last day of the Home and Garden Show, and I've got free tickets for you, and here's how to get them. Come in that main entrance, go to Will Call, say you were there to see Farm to Table, buy fresh, buy local. If you don't remember that, send me an email today through DougOster.com or through my Facebook page. I will give you the instructions, and I would love to see you today. I am speaking today at 1 o'clock. If you come in for free, that means that you're coming to see me speak. That's the deal. So 1 p.m. today, great crowds. I'm upstairs in the Farm to Table Expo area. Again, speaking at 1 o'clock, get there early to be sure you get a seat. It has been very crowded. Today's topic is spring planting secrets. I've put together my best tips and tricks for over my lifetime of gardening. And I'm giving away some really cool seeds. This is an heirloom, and I've been giving this away off and on for the last maybe 6 years. It's called Perpetual Spinach, and it is a wonderful plant. It is technically a Swiss chard, but this Swiss chard has a texture and a flavor of spinach. When we grow our normal spinach, we can get it to go to about June. It gets too hot. It goes to seed. It's gone. This stuff you can plant from March 17th. To September 17th and everything in between, and the Farm to Table Expo, it has become one of the most important destinations for the show. Local farms offering fresh eggs, meats, cheeses, spices, sauces, soups, honey. Oh my God, got another loaf of Jenny Lee swirl breads the other day, eating that every morning, mushroom products, much, much more. And I've asked farm-to-table Buy Fresh, Buy Local to bring in some of my favorite seeds, and the prices are great. Oh, Mexican sunflowers, two types of beans, zinnias, Market More 76 cucumbers, some perpetual spinach seeds, if you miss me, nasturtiums, much, much more, garden tools, all sorts of good stuff. And I've got two fun stories from the home show, and yesterday might be one of the most wonderful things I've ever seen. A young family came to see me speak, and I see them once a year, maybe twice a year, sometimes out at some of the nurseries that I speak, and it's always wonderful to see young people. And I get done talking, and then we're chit-chatting, and the young boy, he's in first grade, and his mom says, well, he brought his train, and we've told him this isn't going to work out, that he can't just take it over to the train area and ask them to put it on the tracks. And I was like, I know the train guys, because the train guys and I have become friends over the years. And so I said, come on, we'll see. What's the harm in asking? And I'm telling you, this kid, he comes up, and I just said, hey, I talked to the guy. I said, hey, this little boy was at my speaking engagement, and he has something to ask you. And so he says real quietly, I was... Could I put my train on the tracks? These train guys came around like, oh, they're like, yeah, here, put it on. He gets it out of his bag. It's a train with one car. They hook it up to a whole other thing of cars, and they're talking about, well, do you got a transformer? Do you got a thing that has to go in here and this and that? And they get it all set up, and then a guy comes running over, and he's got a little liquid, and he's putting it in the thing for the smoke. And the kid got a little thing in his hand, and he fires it up, and it's going around with all the other trains, and he's walking around the train display walk, and he's just beaming. And not only is he beaming, his mother and father and sister are just overjoyed, and the train guys, you know, it's just like me seeing a young person at my garden talk. It's like a unicorn. Somebody under 100 years old is coming to listen to gardening.
That's nice.
And it was so wonderful to see that. And I left after about an hour of watching him with the train going around there. But that was awesome. That was just awesome. And another fun story from there. A woman, Claire Clark, came up and started talking to me and said she was a fan, and she works at the Pittsburgh Food Bank. And we start talking about our love of daffodils. And she rolls up her sleeve, and she has a tattoo of these beautiful daffodils and part of this poem from William Wordsworth named I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud. And here's the first stanza of the poem. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils beside the lake, beneath the trees fluttering and dancing in the breeze. And so yesterday morning, my daffodils started blooming, the earliest ones, and I am so thrilled. The harbingers of spring are here, just like the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show is the harbinger of spring. And one more thing about daffodils, you have to go down to Joe Hamm's Daffodil Garden in northern Washington County. Give it a week or two. All the information's at the at DougOster.com. But this is an amazing place. It is the greatest collection of blooming daffodils and a magical place. And if I've got a minute to talk about it, Rob, my favorite story from there, and I tell it every year, his two helpers, the Field Sisters, his sister and Carol, who lives down the street, who works there, they told him, looking through the daffodils, that there's one name variety, 1946 Spencer Tracy, named for the actor. There's no Katharine Hepburn. He finds this sport, which is a natural mutation. He gets it named Katharine Hepburn, and now Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn are blooming next to each other, and they are together forever.
There you go. All right, 866-391-1020. Rob Kuljak will be here. Spring checklist, Davy Tree within 20 minutes. But right now, a short break and your calls on the other side. Doug Oster, DougOster.com, the Organic Gardener, KDKA.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this while Doug's here, then we're going to get right to the phones. You know, this Home and Garden Show and Mark Moore carrying on for his dad, it's so much fun, and some vendors are really doing great down there. But I have to take time to thank all of the workers at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. Great venue, and we really are spoiled, Doug. They take such good care of us.
You know, I have a woman, Anna, who brings me coffee every day. She doesn't have to do this. She's been doing it for years. One that works over, serves food. I give her seeds every year. One who she walks around and she does like the trash, and I see her every year, and I've always given her seeds, and we're talking gardening. Yeah, and what a building!
You know,
what a phenomenal building. I had a friend come actually. He lives in Columbus, but he works at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, and he'd never been in there before, and he went up to look out where you can see the river, and he's like, this is unbelievable. We take it for granted, but remember the old convention center? Mm-hmm. You were kind of like in a blockhouse there, but this one, my gosh,
Taj Mahal.
Yes, beautiful
it is. All right, let's get to the phones. Here's Ed in McDonald. You are on KDK with Doug Oster. Good morning, Ed.
Yes, is it too late to trim a weeping cherry?
No, you'd be okay to do weeping cherry right now. You still have a little bit of time. The only thing we wouldn't prune right now would be something like a rhododendron, hydrangea, dogwood, something that would have buds on it. Of course, oaks or elms. I think we're done with oaks and elms. Actually, I'm going to talk when Rob Kruljack gets here. I'm going to talk about oaks and elms with him and see if it's too late to prune them. We might still have some time to do that. But yeah, go ahead with your weeping cherry. How's your weeping cherry doing, by the way? Is it doing okay?
Very good. The other thing is I got an asparagus question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where can I find asparagus? It's been up like 2 years or three. I ain't got 3 more years to wait for it after I planted. I planted some roots last year, and they didn't come up. And I'm looking for some more roots, whole plants. Is there some place I can buy whole plants?
Yes, and to get, in your case, you would want to get the 3-year-old roots, right? Those are going to be the most expensive, but
I don't care about
right. I hear you. You're like me. I'm gonna when I buy my next truck, that's going to be my last vehicle.
I'm in the fourth quarter, 2-minute warning.
I'm not quite there, but I'm right behind you, brother. And so there is a place online called Gurney's. Normally, we would go to our local nursery, and they'd have like 1-year-old roots. You can't wait. Gurney's has 3-year-old roots for sale there, and so it's an online thing. They have a big paper catalog too. It's Gurneys, and there you can get your 3-year-old roots. And if I hear any place else locally that has 3-year-old roots, I will make an announcement next week. But I've never seen that at a local place. You're going to have to go to the computer and order them from Gurney's. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, good luck. And when you get some asparagus, you call back and you tell me about it, okay?
All right, 866-391-1020. Here's Nancy in South Fayette for Doug Oster, DougOster.com, the organic gardener on KDKA. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi, Doug. Hey, I just have three really quick questions.
Take your time.
How long should I keep young trees staked?
That's going to be a great question for Rob Kruljack, but because I've done this topic a couple times, I think you only have to do it one season tops.
Oh, okay.
Let them, and when they're staked, they should be able to wobble a little bit in the wind. You want them, because that gets their roots strong. And again, we will ask Rob Kruljack for the definitive answer there, but I think it's about a season.
Good. I'll keep listening for that. Okay. I know you'll laugh at this question. When should I prune some height off of Rose of Sharon's?
Anytime. I'm not laughing. Why would I be laughing at you?
Well,
maybe I'm laughing on the inside.
They're pretty weeds, basically. I know you can't kill them, but I don't want to lose any buds.
Don't worry about that on a Rose of Sharon. You can do whatever you want to it, and it'll be fine. Although, technically, again, Rob Kruljack is going to, if he's listening, he's going to be mad at me because we're never supposed to top a tree. But in the case of a Rose of Sharon, it is a weed. In my case, I say a lovely weed.
Yeah,
but it's one I love. And if you give me a chance, just a minute, I want to talk about another Rose of Sharon that I want people to know about because it doesn't make babies, and it's called Sugar Tip. And I'm growing it in my garden, and it's a variegated foliage, green and white, and then it has beautiful double pink blooms and only gets about 15 feet tall. And again, it does not make babies. So what was the third question? What did we want to talk about, Nancy?
Well, a couple of years ago, I put in probably a 1-quart pot aster. Last year, it like turned into a monster. It's probably 4 feet across and 3 feet high. Do I cut that down to the ground? And if so, when do I do that?
You could probably do that now. Anything that's like dead and, there's nothing green left on it, that could be removed right now. But you're lucky. You're lucky that thing turned into a monster. We want those asters to do that thing. Is it taking over, though?
No, it's beautiful, and it's perfect where it is. Obviously, it's doing well. You know, the location is perfect for it, but I just never had one that got so big, and so I didn't quite know the it grows. It puts out new growth, and it doesn't bloom or put out on old wood.
Right. And so what you could do if you wanted to, first off, asters are like the best thing for pollinators later in the season, but you could slice some pieces off and move it somewhere else if you were so inclined just to have more asters.
Oh,
what color is it?
Purple.
Oh, that's pretty. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, you know,
beautiful.
Asters are tough as nails. You can do whatever you want to them, so you'd be okay there.
Very good. Well, this nice weather got all us gardeners a little itchy.
Tell me about it. Oh, it's so great. All right. Thanks for your call, Nancy.
All right. Coming up, we've got to take a break. Rob's got the news at the bottom of the hour. Then it's Rob Kruljack. Spring checklist time. Davy Tree is coming back. You got some trips you want to promote here quickly?
Well, just again, I can't get rid of these last two seats to go to London in May. Two seats left to go see Chelsea Flower Show and the Gardens of London, and then Italy in October, Southern Italy and Sicily. Those two are already halfway sold. So that's not two. It's one trip to Southern Italy, Sicily. You should come with me. We're going to have a lot of fun. All the information, everything we're talking about, DougOster.com.
All right, next hour, St. Patrick's Day recipes, the Coons Cooking Hour, and then Troy Lampenfeld will be here as well today. We've got some exciting stuff. 10 o'clock, Accurate Solutions will be here. And then, of course, it's 11 o'clock, two-hour edition of the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show on the road today at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. All right, 10th caller wins it. Janoski's gift certificate, 412-922-1020. Once again, Doug Oster, DougOster.com.
What is that bumper music? What the heck is that?
That's the soundtrack of my life. Scary. Just flat out scary.
This is the garden show. This isn't the horror show. This is like you're supposed to be, hey, here we go. We're going to be gardening. All right, tomorrow, the first day of planting, St. Patrick's Day. That's the day Grandma said put in her peas. I have been putting in peas on St. Patrick's Day for 40 years. I only missed 1 year. And so even, how many years ago was it? 2-3 years ago, actually in the hospital. And I was complaining to my wife, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to plant my peas. And she brought in some pea seeds and some pots and soil. I tell the story all the time, but the nurses just thought it was like so funny to have that stuff on the windowsill. And I did a class for farm to table from the hospital. My boss was like, are you sure you want to do this? I said, I'm going crazy. I feel fine. And I'm bored. I want to teach a class. And so when you're putting your peas in tomorrow, I hope you put them in tomorrow. First thing we have to know, hey, is that soil okay to dig in there? If it's too wet, leave it alone. And I would think after all this rain today that it's going to be too wet. And so to test that, it's something I have talked about forever since we've been on the radio, nearly 20 years or 20 years now. If it sticks to the shovel, if that soil sticks to the shovel, it is too wet to turn over. But don't worry, we can still plant. We're going to get a couple bags of compost from the local nursery, and we're going to throw that down, and we're going to plant directly in that. The thing I do with my peas, today I will do it as soon as I get home. I'm going to soak them overnight in water, and they get like they're from this dried little pea all the way up to 3 times that size, and it's ready to sprout. You put them in that black compost. And then in my case, I'm putting like a big old 70s plastic skylight on top when it gets cold just to warm up that soil. Looking at the 7-day, we have rain and warm temperatures. We should be fine for peas to sprout. But it's not just peas that can go in now. It's all the cold weather crop. When I'm talking at the Home and Garden Show, I've got my 3 things to have a great garden. Improve the soil, know when the plants go in the ground, and don't let them dry out. And so this is knowing when the plants go in the ground. And so there are all these early crops that don't care about the frost. And so just like our peas, we put those in, and once those peas come up, believe it or not, I mean, in March, it's going to get awful cold again. My wife was just like, oh, can you turn the hose on? I'm like, no, it's going to get cold again. I don't want to turn the hose on. And so things like lettuce and Swiss chard and arugula and beets, things kind of off the beaten path, tatsoi and corn mache. Those two are cool things. The tatsoi and corn mache. I'm getting old. I can't remember something I say like 10 minutes, 10 seconds ago. Corn mache is this cool weather green, and it's real mild. You could just cut it off, throw it in a salad, no one will know the difference. And it'll grow only under cold conditions, so it's something we would plant now. And same with the tatsoi. Tatsoi is from the kale family. I always tell about kale. It's really good for you, but only edible with bacon. And kale people just start yelling at me when I say that. Like, you don't know about kale chips. I love kale. Don't worry about it. But all this cool weather stuff it goes in tomorrow. And, it's so great to get started. Like I said, to see the daffodils blooming. I've got this beautiful, beautiful area of snowdrops that are blooming and snowdrops everywhere. And this is just the start of it. Rob, do we have a caller?
We do have a caller.
All right, let's talk.
Let's say hi to Cindy. Hey, Cindy, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys. I just wanted to ask you, we have a white birch tree, and those spotted lanternflies polluted it last year. Mm. It's actually black in, I'd say, 80% of it. How do I get that off? I was hoping over winter the snow and, you know, would remove it, but it hasn't.
Oh, that's that stuff called sooty mold. And so I'll just explain what's happening here. Oh, those spotted lanternflies, they don't kill the tree, but they're up there feeding, and they excrete this stuff called honeydew. It's very okay. Sweet. Ironically, the bees are taking the honeydew before it turns into sooty mold, and they're making honey out of it, believe it or not, they found. And so, but if they don't get it, that stays on there, and then it turns into the sooty mold.
Okay.
I would be tempted to wait and see what happens after spring rains. If it doesn't wash off after spring rains, we're going to have to talk to one of these experts from Davey and see what the best way is to get that sooty mold off there without damaging that beautiful birch tree.
Right. The thing
about sooty mold, it's not going to negatively affect the tree. It's just ugly, isn't it? Isn't the worst thing when you look out at that tree? It is terrible looking.
And I tried to get them off as soon as I would see them land. But I mean, there might have been 50 or more.
I know. Hopefully this year it won't be as bad for you. What has been happening with the spotted lanternfly is one year in certain areas we will see this explosion of the pest. And then after that, not quite as bad. And so hopefully it won't be as bad this year. But what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to wait a little bit.
Okay.
See what happens in the spring rains. Like a day like today when you got 40-mile-an-hour gusts and rain, hopefully that sooty mold will eventually just kind of wear off. And if it doesn't, in a couple weeks, on one of our Davey days, give us a call back. Or you could actually send me, if you didn't want to call back, you could send me a message through DougOster.com, and I will ask them on the air, what do we do about the sooty mold on there? What is the safest way to get it off there? Because I don't know. So we would want to talk to an expert first. But there's nothing to worry about now. You don't have to panic. It's just, I always tell people when they have something that's really ugly and terrible like that, look the other way. Look. Maybe you have a daffodil blooming somewhere. Look at that. Okay.
They're all coming up.
Oh, that's awesome! And so we'll talk about it in the next couple of weeks. All right.
That's wonderful. Do I have a quick question to
sure.
ask? One other question. That traveling time, I've heard about it. I know it's beautiful once it gets started. Irwin area. Is that a good thing around Pittsburgh area to grow, or is that not a good thing?
Oh no, that's a wonderful thing. That's a great thing, and there's lots of different ways to use it. That likes full sun and decent soil. If I was you, I would just poke around at your local nursery or around there. If they don't have it in stock, ask them to get it, because a lot of times, especially early in the season, they're going up and down to the different places and having deliveries. And get a few plants and just stick it in someplace that has full sun or as much sun as you can get, depending. It'll grow just about anywhere. And it'll be a wonderful addition to the garden. Nothing to worry about at all.
Well, I have a lot of that phlox. I love phlox, and it looks beautiful.
So is it the phlox, like the creeping phlox, the one that's on the ground, or the tall phlox?
Yeah, the creeping phlox. And I have all different colors, and it looks beautiful. But the last couple winters, it's just like it's just like really wiping it out.
Took a beating, yeah. You know what I do in that creeping time early in the season here? I would throw a little bit of, there's a couple different fertilizers you can find locally. They're called Flower Tone and Bloom Tone. One of those two, I would kind of sprinkle that down where your creeping time is to just give it a little boost. Because especially in a winter like this, it's going to set it back, but it'll come back for you. And especially if you give it a little bit of that granular fertilizer, it'll take off for you, and that'll be a good thing for you. Oh, I love creeping thyme too. It's one of my favorite things.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
All right, you too. Thanks so much.
All right, lots of callers waiting for Doug, but we've got to get to a break. And when we come back, we'll take your calls to the top of the hour. He is the Organic Gardener, appearing today, the final day at the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show. Back with more in a moment. St. Patrick's Day recipes next hour on the Coons Cooking Hour. But right now it's gardening, and here's Donna on KDK for Doug Oster. Hi, Donna.
Hi, good morning. Question for you. They probably have them down at the home show. They're called metal birds. I have an owl and I have a pair of lovebirds. They're metal. Somebody's carved them. And they have a spike. It's about as thick as a pencil, but it's flat. And they said, oh, yeah, you can hammer that in the side of the tree. I'm thinking, that's got to be harmful to the tree. Am I right?
I think it'll be okay. I mean, it's not something you want to do a lot of, but I think you'll be okay there. Yeah, I think it'll be okay.
Can I ask another question?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, someone bought me a handcrafted weeping pussy willow. It's beautiful. It's bloomed with those white puffs.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say on this card how big it gets. It says I should plant it outside once the frost is gone. And I have to cut back any growth that's on the top because there's a growth all over it. And apparently you have to cut it all off.
Well, what they're telling you there is that most of it will have that weeping habit, you know, where it just kind of, weeps. But
yeah,
some of the new growth will stick straight up. This is what will happen with weeping plants, weeping cherries, weeping pussy willows. Now, depending on the variety, we really don't know how big it's going to get. So I would just give it plenty of room to do its thing because, again, we don't know the exact variety. But usually they don't get overwhelming big. And with a plant like that, you can prune it to keep it in shape. But I would keep it at least 8 to 10 feet away from the house just to be sure that it doesn't get too big. And, yeah, just kind of take a look at the new growth when you see it. And if it doesn't, let it sprout out. And if it doesn't start weeping, then that gets cut off. But if it'll start weeping for you and start kind of falling over, leave that on there. It'll be fine. Don't cut off everything. They just want you to cut off anything that doesn't weep.
Just stick straight up. Cut that off.
Yeah, because if you cut off everything, you'll be weeping because you'll ruin the plant.
But you know, there are branches that are weeping. They're hanging way down to the table.
That's what we want.
Right, but on those, there are things that are sticking up.
Okay, again, once you get it in the ground, which you could do starting anytime, you know, starting tomorrow, as long as the ground isn't too wet, once you put it in there, just watch it and see what that new growth does, because it might grow out, like if it's off a weeping branch, it might grow out straight for a little bit, but then start to weep. So just keep an eye on it. You'll see.
Sure.
You'll figure it out. You'll when you watch how the plant grows. All right?
All right. Thank you.
Have a good day. You too.
All right. Here's Erica up next from Vandergrift on the Organic Gardener Show with Doug Oster. Hey, Erica, good morning.
Good morning to you also, and thank you for taking my call. I was at the show yesterday, and we got some, my friend and I got some Mexican sunflower seeds.
Oh, good.
And on the way home, my friend says to me, when are we supposed to plant those? I said, let me check my notes. You know, I was in the front row taking notes all the time.
Oh, I saw you there. So Mexican sunflowers, there's a couple different ways you can do this. If you have the ability to start seeds inside,
okay,
you would start them under lights like that. Probably about April 1st, maybe even a little later would be okay. If you can't do that, now there's another way to do it also, where I showed where you take a milk jug, drill holes in the bottom, cut it all the way around to like the handle is like a hinge, put some planting mix in there, put your Mexican sunflower seeds in there, close that up and put it outside. And the third way to do this would be the third week of April, just planting those seeds somewhere out in the garden. We try and get a jump on the season with Mexican sunflowers because they're late bloomers, just like me and Rob. They didn't reach their potential until later in life. Those poor teachers when we were young, it was tough on them, it was tough on us. So the earliest you can get that Mexican sunflower going, the better, just to get the early blooms. But you're going to enjoy that flower so much, because that one, it'll be anywhere from 6 feet tall to 15 feet tall, and 3-inch orange blossoms that bring in the hummingbirds, the butterflies, all the pollinators. And you know, the wonderful thing about that plant is it doesn't need a lot from the gardener. And so even though it's a full sun plant, you can stick it in the corner somewhere with just about 4 hours of sun, and it's going to do its thing. Sometimes they flop over. If they don't get the sun they need, you can stake them up. But I can't wait for you to enjoy that flower. And when we get into the summer and you're looking at all those hummingbirds and everything, give me a call back so that we can hear how things went for you, okay?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Now, will they repollinate? I mean, we just leave them in the ground, next year they're going to come back next year, or are they just annuals?
They're what we call a half-hardy annual, meaning that it'll go longer than frost. It'll go to like a hard freeze. And sometimes, if you let it go to seed, it'll sprout up. But for the most part, you're starting those seeds every year. And you'll want to after you see that plant. I can't wait to get mine started. And I always have extras. And as we talked about yesterday at the Home and Garden Show, sharing, you know, that's what you're going to start all these plants. You're going to have way too more many than you can use. Dig them out and give them to some friends, and they'll love you forever because the Mexican sunflower is a phenomenal plant. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to the show. I will be back at the Home and Garden Show today at 1 p.m. You can come for free. All you have to do is go to the will call booth and say, I'm here for farm to table, buy fresh, buy local. If you don't remember that, or if you're got distracted while I'm saying that, and you said, what did he say about something about the home show? Just go to DougOster.com, click on the main page there, and you can see all the information about how to get in for free, and or send me an email. I will give you the exact instructions how to get in. I'd love to see you today, but come early because we're going to have lots of people there. The last day, it's going to be crowded, and there's only so many seats. I want you to get a seat. We're having so much fun. I'm talking about all my spring garden tips, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Next week, my friend Ellen Zakos, author of Mythic Plants, is going to be on. Listen to the title, Mythic Plants, Potions and Poisons from the Gardens of the Gods. If you like mythology, you'll love this book. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, there he goes, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Stay with us. St. Patrick's Day recipes just moments away on the Coons Cooking Hour on KDKA Pittsburgh. Good morning.